that should be born, the end of the world is there. But he continues to create plans out of plans. Sure. By providence. By his hand. By his goodness. God used my parents to be born. But I'm not my parents. I'm a creation. Created by God. And my dear congregation, what's providence? Now, we go to the word first. Providence is seeing what happens or going to happen. God sees, listen, providence. Video is see. Providence means he sees what's going to happen. Now, the Arminians say he sees only what's going to happen, and when it's wrong, he reacts. We act, God reacts. That's Arminian. But that's not providence. Providence is also provide. Why does he see it? Because he has made it to happen. He doesn't see what happens. He made the things to happen, therefore he sees it. Providence. Providence. According to his eternal decree. Not by chance, not by fate, but out of his hands. Congregation, young people, God, I say it with reverence, is in control. Don't fear the world. He is, with his almighty and good power, in control of his own creation. Can I understand all things? I can't. But I believe. So providence again is provide. And I used last week Genesis 22. Jehovah Yireh means God will provide. He sees. He will provide. What did he provide? He provided the lamb before Abram needed to sacrifice. Therefore, Christ is crucified from the beginning of the world. Do you understand me or don't you? God doesn't react on my fall. He allowed my fall. Oh, Pastor, now you're in dangerous areas. No, I'm not. Christ is crucified where? When? Before the creation of the world. God doesn't react, he acts. God doesn't follow up, he reigns. God doesn't say, you did wrong and now I make it right. No, he allowed us. Oh, Pastor, stop it. No, I'm not stopping it. God is not the author of sin. No, he isn't. But he allowed it to happen. Stop, Pastor, stop. I'm not stopping. For his own glory of mercy. For he can't be glorified by our works anymore. Now he will be glorified by his good pleasure and mercy. Pastor, now you're making God the origin of sin. No, I didn't. I didn't. No, I didn't. He didn't prevent us from sin. Why not? In the state of righteousness, we had a free will. Now not anymore. It's bound. And he tried us by the tree of evil and good, and we fell. We did it ourselves. But the wonder of all wonders, before Abraham had to sacrifice his son, the Son of God was already on the Mount Moriah. God is first and you are second. Can I explain everything? I can't. My wisdom is foolishness. But I have the Word of God, and that teaches me. Can you explain everything? I even can't explain it. But do you know what faith? That's surrendering to the eternal will of God. That's faith. Trusting in Him alone. Again, I go back. First, God decides before He acts. His determinant will and counsel goes first. Yeah? That's important. Then He acts by His will and He does what He said to do. The whole Bible, listen carefully, the whole Bible is first promise and then fulfillment. The whole Bible. Sometimes God promises 600 years before He does it. Isaiah, a child is born unto us. 600 years. And by His providential care, He does what He promised. It's not only the will of His counsel, it's the will of His acts. God works. Why does the Lord do that? To believe Him on His word. I had a professor, liberal professor. He said, one thing I tell you, dear boys, that the history of Israel tells me that God is faithful to His word. And that's true. Some people have said God, like a clock, winds the world and then He let it go. No! His eternal counsel and determinant will goes on to the last day and the last minute of this world. It's in all, thank thee Lord, in thy hands, not by chance, but in the hands of my Father. In Christ Jesus. And I don't understand all the things I know. I don't know why He leads me this way or that way. But it's in His hands, dear friend. It's in His hands. And He decides before He does. Now, a second thing. We know the Hebrew word dabar. Dabar is the word. But in God, His word is His act. His counsel is His act. We make always a difference between our words and our deeds, our acts. But God's words are His acts. He said, there be light, and there was light. I'm not going in speaking about God in eternity. But in eternity, His deed is His act. Immediately. Immediately. Therefore, He can say that Christ is crucified before the creation, foundation of the world. And I'm knowing that I'm speaking a bit of secret language, but it is the language of the Bible. This is God. God has no past and no future. He is always present. An eternal presence is in God. God had not yesterday and tomorrow, he says today, when you hear my voice. And when God comes in your life, eternity enters into time. It's absolutely true. But you have to understand these things, to experience these things. And therefore we read that Abram believed it. Isaac said, Father, where is the lamb? And Abram believed in the promise of God, although it seemed to be that God was against him. Sacrifice thy son. But he believed in the eternal counsel and decision of God. Do you know what he said to his son? God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. Although the Lord had said, your son is the burnt offering, he said, no. I tell you this, faith sometimes rests with God. Do you understand me? And keep God to his own word. When I promise my children some things, they can ask and say, Father, I need that bike. Yeah, I need a bike too, dear son. Yeah, but every child has a bike and I don't have a bike. Yeah, that might be, dear boy. Huh? But if that little boy comes to me and says to me, thou hast said it thyself that I would get a bike. I lost the battle. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering, my son. He has promised. The seed was not Isaac. The seed was Christ, one seed. And Isaac couldn't pay. I go further. Hebrews, some text out of the Bible, Hebrews 11:40. God having provided for us some better things. He spoke about the Jews and he said, but God has provided for us things, the birth and the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, some better things. Not only seen, but by provision provided to us. Do you believe that? Or do you believe in chance? I go through another text, and I want to go through these things because I can say it, but that's not valuable. The word has to say it. God says it. Can I give another text? Ephesians 1:11. According to the purpose of him, he has a purpose. God is not without a purpose. He rules to his own purpose, for his own purpose. According to the purpose of him who worketh all things, after the counsel of his own will. That's it. All things after the counsel of his own will. Not your will. And therefore, the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, not my will, but let thy will be done, as it's in heaven, also on earth. Again, according to the purpose. It has a purpose. God's will has always a purpose. Sometimes you don't know the purpose, but God will show you the purpose if it's not here afterwards. Of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. There is nothing in the world of its or it's not of it or it's according to the purpose of his own will. I don't agree. That's up to you. I understand that you don't agree. You want to be in control. You're not. I'm not. I want to control my own life, but it goes according to the purpose of his own. Do you know what's praying? Worshipping the will of God. Even if it seems to be against me. Against me. But it's not against the people of God. It's according to the purpose. There is a purpose. Sometimes hidden. But I can give you the real purpose. That's his own glory. Of his own will. I go to another text. Hebrews 1:4. And upholding all things by the word of his power. In the Hebrew or in the English Bible, it's word with not a capital. But I believe, like Christ was the mediator of creation, God created by his Son, by his word. There's nothing made. God created the world by his word. That's his Son. Now he sustains the world by his word, by his Son, whom is given all power, almighty power, in heaven and on earth. I'm not doing my own will, I'm doing the will of my Father who taught me, he said. He has life in himself. Now why I say this is that not only the Father, but it's the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the will of the Father, it's the will of the Son, and it's the will of the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. It's the almighty power of the Father, it's the almighty power of the Son, and it's the almighty power of the Holy Ghost. And I say another thing. The Father works by his Son and by his Spirit. The Son works of his Father by his Spirit. And the Spirit works of the Son and of the Father. And they are one in purpose. God is not divided. His own will. His own counsel. The triune God works all according to the counsel of his own will. To do what he decreed to do. Some have said he made a counsel. He discussed it with himself. I don't believe it. He decreed it, and his sons decreed it, and the Holy Spirit decreed it. The Trinity decreed it. Do you think the Father made a counsel with his Son how to do? No, the Son loved the will of his Father, and it was his will to do the will of his Father. We make God sometimes a man. He decreed it. He's the sovereign God, and he does what he says. And decreed, congregation. Let's sing. 396, 1 and 4. 396, 1 and 4. The Lord is strong to help the weak, upholding those that fall, restoring those bowed down with grief, and doing good to all. And fourth, the hope of those that fear His name, the Lord will satisfy. Their mighty Savior He will be, whereunto Him they cry. Let's follow it. So providence, in the first place, in a general sense, is He upholds the sun and the moon and the stars. I wrestled a bit, but I don't wrestle. This week I read somewhere in the papers that the universe is expanding. And they said, what's the purpose of that expanding universe? But the more I know that the universe is so big, the bigger is God, greater is God. They will say, if you speak about the universe, now how can God create a small planet, the Earth, to reveal His majesty? But I believe the more we know about the universe, the greater and the mightier our God is, who created all out of nothing. Young people, when you go to school and they teach you wrong things, know that God is almighty and He created the universe and gave it His boundaries. That's first. So the moon is always standing on the same spot in the night, isn't it? He governs the moon. Think about it, when the moon next Monday is out of its place. But the sun, we count on it and say the sun is rising at 7 o'clock, I don't know when. But why is it? Well, God governs. And given even the stars to use on the seas to know where you are. The same pattern. God established the universe, took care of it, and takes care of it. But there will be a day that all the stars will be rolled together and losing their position when Christ will return. What a day will that be? When the stars will fall from heaven and the Milky Ways will be drawn to nothing. And Christ will be seen in His glory. He will roll up the heavens. what a gracious God and good God, mighty and caring. And if it's your God, it's the Father of your Savior, your Father, almighty and everywhere present. That's general providence, but then particular providence, that's me. If you're a child of God, you're the apple of his eye. And I believe that the general providence, that God rules the universe for one reason, to save his people and bring them home. The general providence of God is a purpose for the salvation of his people, bringing them, caring for them, and bringing them home. Augustus made the law that the Lord Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. And Augustus never knew that he had to do it. God said it. Isn't it? Elijah prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for one purpose. For 3 years, that Israel might repent and believe. So everyone around had no food. But God took care for Elijah, and he reestablished the sacrifice of justice. Although it seemed to be that he had no followers, the Lord said, I have still 7,000 who didn't bend their knees for Baal. I know my church. I care. Even in dear and difficult times, I'll care. God has his purpose. I know I'm not always seeing what God has for a purpose, but that's not my business even. I believe it. I believe it. Trust in it. Now then the catechism goes further and says that herbs and grass. Herbs is to feed mankind and grass the animals. God feeds the animals. I tell you this. God feeds millions of birds. My dear boys, when I was in Stavros, they made a case for the doves, doves. And I've seen the wrestling to care for 10 doves. On the backs of the seat, and then, oh man, cleaning it up. I always said to them, my dear son, God cares for millions of birds. And you have only 10. How much do you work? But God cares for the birds. Feeds them. It are his birds. Animals. Yeah, but not every animal will be fed, Pastor. No. Do you know why? God forgive me, I sinned. That's it. And the whole world is suffering because of me and you. But God still provides care for man and animal. Even those who don't care for him, he feeds them. His goodness shineth in the world. Rain and drought. We like rain if we need it. We don't like rain if we don't need it. In Malawi, they had a good harvest, looks like, and now it's washed away. And some of our family members lost their houses, I heard. Ginger family lost half of their house, isn't it? And we would say, why does it rain that much? Can I explain it? But I know that there is a purpose. probably for one sinner to repent. I don't know. And God does it at least for his own glory. Can you explain that? Can you reason it? And even reason it? I can. Sometimes he gives drought that you need rain. Sometimes he gives rain that you need drought. If God moves you, he moves you by rain and drought. Luther says, if a sinner falls, I have the grace to say that Christ raises him. And if he is raised, I need to preach to let him fall, that faith might be an exercise. Do you hear me? Sometimes he doesn't give you rain to believe that he will give you drought. I mean, if he doesn't give you rain, then you need rain and faith in exercise. See, we all like a stable life. Always raining in time, and sun in time, and food in time, and no problem. But God said, now I make you a drought, that you would cry for 3 years, no rain, that you would cry to God for rain. And if he gives rain, you're standing in the corner say, praise to God that he gave rain again. But if it's all leveled, it's nightmare. Fruitful and barren years. Sometimes he gives you barren year to be fruitful. But again, my dear congregation, to uttermost ends. Why? To exercise faith. We always like fruitful years. We like to be fruitful. But God makes you sometimes barren and rejoice in your barrenness to make you fruitful. The Bible says so. Oh, ye barren, rejoice, for the children of him that has no man are more than the children of him who has a man. God works these things for his own glory. We like a stable life. God says, God, my people have not a stable life. I make them poor to be rich, and I make them rich to be poor. That faith might be an exercise. See, if it's all stable, you don't need. But faith is an exercise by the antitodes. You understand me or not? You don't like it, probably. You like a leveled way, and prosperous way. Meat and drink. He gives meat and drink. He gives meat and drink. When you travel through the desert and you can't plow nor sow, he gives meat and drink. Manna and water out of the rock. And if you're traveling through the desert, he gives you manna and water out of the rock. No pastor, yea. And the Lord says, I'll try you by manna if you obey me. By faith. Now, first time they got manna, and what seventh day they thought, now we need a double portion. The Lord says, I'll give worms in it. Out with you. Out with you. No. No. Ah. For the Lord gave on the day before the Sabbath day a double portion, that they shouldn't work on the Sabbath day, even to gather it. Health and sickness. God gives you. Now let's start with sickness. He gives you sickness. He gives you probably first health and then he gives you sickness. Why? To be thankful in health. To really esteem it. To be healthy. He makes you sometimes sick to know what's his care for you in healthy days. That's not normal. See, if God would pay us according to what we deserve, we all would be sick to death. But he gives health as a wonder. And sometimes he makes us sick to esteem the glorious goodness of God in your own life. To live by faith and not by seeing. The two extremes. Always two extremes. God works always by extremes. To need him when we are sick and to praise him when we are healthy, it comes. Give God sickness. Or I can say, he allows you to be sick. For no evil is in him. He ordains us to good. He makes us weak to be strong in him. And when Hezekiah was sick, he was a Christian, he was a believer. Eh? Don't say that it was his conversion there. Nonsense. But he wanted to continue the work of God that he gave him for the restoration of true religion in Israel. He says, Lord, be my goal, my surety. And he was made sick to turn his head to the wall and cried to God, and he answered him. To see what's grace. And not a good Hezekiah, but a good God for Hezekiah and for his own purpose. In congregation, and we come to that particular question of Lord's Day 10, and that's what advantages is it to us to know that God has created and by his providence does still uphold all things, that we may be. It doesn't say that we are patient. Shh. It doesn't say that you are patient. It says that you may be patient, that it might be given to you to be patient in adversity. Let's start first there. What's patient? The word patient in the Greek is hypomeno. It's being under it. When God is against you, have the grace to be under it. Not above it, not against it. But patience is to carry what God gives you to carry. That's patience. Hypomeno. And not only to be under it, but to stay under it until God revives and takes it away, the burden. That's hard, eh? You want to carry it for a day and for a week, but not 5 years. And not 30 years. But if you have trust in him, he will turn the evil to good in his time and purpose. But your grace would it be to be under it, not to murmur. For thy will be done on earth as it is in. That's patience. Now I tell you this, congregation, that's a gift. For I can carry it for a day, but probably for a week, and then I start, why now? Bringing God for my judgment seat. I didn't need this. Yeah, you needed it. I didn't ask for it. No, God gave it to you. Oh. He gave you this woman. And that son, and that boy, and that problem. You like it? You like this preaching? Do you know? You want to rule God, but God is ruling you, and He knows to deal with you. Flat on the floor. No thanks to object anymore. Guilty. But that's a gift. Look to the Lord Jesus. And if you're united with Him, how do you dare to murmur? He didn't open His mouth. He's subjected by grace. No, by obedience, holy obedience to the will of His Father to be crucified. And therefore in Hebrews 10:3, the Bible says, you have need of patience, which has a great recompense of reward. If God gives you patience, He uses it for your best. A great recompense of reward. Like He has subdued you, He will bring you high to His own purpose. In prosperity, thankful. I work for it.
Oh, yeah.
I have the brains to do it. I'm the man. Look, the Babel I built. I'm a Christian builder. I'm a Christian builder. I made my business. Oh, yeah. I once passed an exam and I told you I needed the Lord. So I went to the washroom and I bent my knees. I said, Lord, I did what I could, but I don't know. I don't know if I passed. And I passed with good marks. And when I had that mark, I praised God, but it didn't last long. He said, hey man, you did a good work. Yes, I did a good work. That's not thankful. That's not praising God. That's using grace to praise yourself. That's our nature. Our rotten nature. For rotting from binder, says the Lord, that we are. So both are gifts. It's not in our reach. It's a gift of the Holy Ghost. Of the prayerful and thankful high priest. Who prayed when I needed, and who is thankful when I am not thankful. Man, when you're in Christ, you're prayerful and thankful. In Him alone. And in the future, there is an experience of faith. We miss today experienced Christians. David was an experienced believer. When he stood in front of Goliath, do you know what he said? Tell me what he said. He said, I conquered the lion and the bear. God helped me in the past, and in what happens, he will help me again, even against this big Goliath. That's experience of faith. When you're just a new Christian, you don't know these things. You think all is going wrong. But if you're a Christian and you have experience of faith, you know that as God helped you in the past, he will help you. When your last breath is gone, he will help you. And the devil won't win it. Who can separate you from the love of God? Do you know what we lack today? Experienced Christians. In my youth, I could go, and even as a young minister, in one of my first congregations, I could go to experienced Christians. And on Monday morning, I did it. When I preached, I went to some experienced Christians, and we talked about the sermon. And it was useful. But in these days, I'm not saying there are not, but the number is few. There are few. We talked about it last week. In Rotterdam, when it was the Lord's Day, the streets were full of the children of God going to worship God. Where is it? Where is David? Who can speak about the providential care and goodness of God in his life. Tell you two things. One thing first. There was an old lady who trusted in the Lord. And the Lord always provided for her. But on a day she had no food. No potatoes, no bread. Nothing. But she prepared the table. Put a plate on it, fork and knife, and waited. She didn't say, I don't need to prepare the table now because I have no food. She did prepare the table and prayed the Lord. Yeah, but there is no, she prayed the Lord for grace. And while she was praying, they knocked at the door. Hey, missus, a bag full of potatoes, meat, and lettuce. She didn't pray for a full table, but for an empty table, to trust that God would provide for future. That's grace. See, if you walk by eyes, then you pray only when, then you be thankful only when you get it. And we like that. That's how God works sometimes, to teach you. I had to be a minister. I said, but Lord, I don't have money enough. I have to study for 7 years. And a little house, and I could sell it and make some 10,000 dollars. And so I thought, I first get a big business, and when I have money enough, then I start my studies. But business went well, but I felt always that it was wrong. And I said many times to my wife, one of these days I have to leave that business, for God doesn't agree with me doing this. And do you know what the Lord said to me? The cattle is of me on Thousand Hills, and the gold is mine, and I'll care for you. And I may say to you, he did it. He did it! When we had no money at all, God provided it. By his providential care, his fatherly love and care. I can tell you a lot of stories. I shouldn't. Yeah, I should. But now I speak to the children of God who seem to be abandoned. He never abandons you. But he first wants you to accept having no foot, no clothes, no outfit. Stopping your own endeavors. For you can't plow in the desert, nor sow, and God provides manna, isn't it? Out of his fatherly hand. See, I can believe as... You know what I think sometimes? That the best life is trusting him for time and eternity. When I didn't go and didn't know how to live the next week, he never forsook me, although I have forsaken him and mistrusted him many times. But he didn't. Who can separate me from the love of God? No one can separate me. We had no furniture for our first parsonage. I hadn't even a table and some chairs to sit on. But a child of God says, come, let's go to that factory. Look. And then he said to me, it's paid for. What a wonderful days were these days, living out of his hand. And we should live all out of his hand, not by chance. And even if it's against you, patience. God will turn the evil to good. For his fatherly hand cares for you. And also, always sometimes he subtracts something from you. He has the cattle on many hills and the gold by heaps. And Egypt had to give the gold before they left to prepare, although they misused it. But not all. They made a tabernacle of it and worshipped God in it. The golden cover and the law in it. Since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot move so much as move. They cannot so much as move. Now, I can speak about vaccination, I can speak about insurance, and I can do all these things. I want to add to it this. If it's not done by faith, it's idolatry. Some people have a faith in providence, but not in God the Father. Then it's idolatry. Goldberg said, if you do these things without faith, it's idolatry. It's not living out of the hands of your Father. But if you may do it by faith, you'll see that his hand is not shortened to care for you in proper ways. May God bless his word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I preach to myself and I am ashamed. Sometimes I don't trust thee for a dime. I have to have a good bank account and salary. And it troubles me sometimes, but although Joseph had 7 years of prosperity and 7 years of hunger, and thou knowest the balance, he believed, therefore he stored. And he believed, therefore he handed out. And more than Joseph, art thou, O Jesus Christ, to bless and to withhold, that we might have a given faith, having an only comfort both in life, first in life, and then in death. Who can separate us, says the church, from thy love in Christ? O Lord, forgive us. Give us a heart to trust not in what we see or hear, but in thee and thy fatherly care. For it is thine honor to care for thy children. Have mercy upon us, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing lastly 414, the stanza 3. 414, the stanza 3.